T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul and Jordana, thank you for riding along with us this afternoon. All day we've been talking about healthcare, what works, what doesn't, what can we do to increase access, what can we do to control prices. Whenever you talk about healthcare, inevitably, the cost of prescription drugs comes up. One in four Americans, Jor, can't afford to purchase the prescription drugs they need to manage their chronic ailments, whatever that is. The price of prescription drugs rising 10 times faster than the rate of inflation, which granted is pretty low right now, but still, these drugs are unaffordable to many people who need them. Jim Showalter is president of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me here.
We ended our last segment, and I think you were here listening, about the story of Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Our last doctor guest was sharing that. You know, he just turned 26. He had to move off of his mom's insurance plan at 26. He had type 1 diabetes. He started rationing his medication. Within 27 days of moving off the plan, he died of insulin deficiency. I mean, his mother is now an activist, of course, for more affordable drugs. But look, this child had, he was 26. He had type 1 diabetes. How is it possible that in this developed nation, he did not have access to a medication he probably had since childhood, or a disease he probably had since childhood?
Well, that's exactly it. That is just such a tragic, tragic story, and it's not the only one like that. And anytime people can't get access to care, you know, terrible things happen, and that's why it's so important, I think, for everyone to get the ability to get access, because some of the costs of drugs are so high that we can't afford it on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out how to make sure that everyone's got access and ability to get the treatments that work. You know, this young man knew what he needed, and yet, you know, the system, the way we handled it as a community, it didn't work. And
what could he have done? I mean, does he go to the pharmacy and say, look, I'm in a bind and I'm about to go into insulin shock? Does he call his primary care? What should he have done?
You know, I don't know exactly what, if he would have been eligible for a public program, a discount, or, you know, what is the way that he would have been able to help himself get insured, get coverage? But, you know, the bottom line is not everyone has coverage. You know, in the state, Minnesota is a leader in helping people get coverage, but even that doesn't always mean they can get the drugs that they need, because that's a part of the cost, and it's a significant and rising part that keeps on making even insurance unaffordable, the copays unaffordable, the deductibles unaffordable.
Jim, this is a complicated matrix here that we're dealing with. I mean, we're living longer. That's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
It also means many of us are sick, suffering from various ailments. We're not a particularly healthy nation. I mean, so many people struggling with obesity, diabetes. It's a long list of issues. How can we ensure the innovation, the research and development for these new drugs that prolong not only length of life, but quality of life, and at the same time increase accessibility and make sure that more people can afford the medication they need to go on living? I mean, those two are somewhat diametrically opposed. And when you throw the notion of more government, a lot of people cringe. You know, is that really the solution? What options do you see?
Well, you know, for starters, I agree that what we can get done with medical treatments, whether they're drugs or other medical treatments, is just incredible. And I don't think anybody wants to slow that innovation and understanding. Mm-hmm. We all want to have that happen in our communities. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, there also has to be some rationality to the prices. And one of the real challenges with drugs is nobody really can say what is the right price. So drug companies are charging as much as they want to and can. And maybe we can all get a discount or we can negotiate against it. But the starting price for those drugs is sky high. And that's putting it out of reach of a lot of people. It's not all about the research and development costs. It's about maximizing revenues.
But other countries do negotiate prices to increase accessibility so that everybody, they consider it almost a public utility, this access to medication. In this country, correct me if I'm wrong, the FDA doesn't say if a new drug coming on the market, hey, here's the right price to ensure that more people can have access to this drug. It really is whatever the pharmaceutical company sets that price at, right?
That's exactly it. You know, I think electricity is really important in my household. It runs my refrigerator and everything else in my household. I would pay a lot for it, but we regulate the cost of electricity so that it covers the costs. Our insurance is really valuable in helping spread the cost of medical care across our community. That's also regulated, so it just covers the costs. Our drug costs aren't regulated.
Well, what's the solution? I mean, what are we going to do about it? Should government step in here and have caps? You know, Jason Lewis asked me the same thing. I agree that government should step in and negotiate more. I mean, that's my feeling, but I'm just a silly talk show host. You're the expert.
You know, I would love to be able to solve it in the next hour. I think there's a lot of different things going on. The first thing we all have to do is be really aware of the trade-offs and of being really aware of the what it's doing to our medical bills and our premiums, because the cost is for each of us when we have an opportunity to go get a brand name drug, to see the, what's on the TV and say, oh, I want to have that, and I go talk with my doctor. That only drives up the cost for everyone and ultimately makes all of our medical costs more expensive and out of reach.
Some evenings I watch the evening news on television, and there must be at least 3, 5, 7 spots for various drugs that I can't pronounce. And by the end of the news, Jim, I'm convinced that I have I have every one of these maladies. I mean, in this country we market drugs the way we market candy, we market iPhones, and again, the stat that stood out at me, 80%, 8 out of 10 of the top drug manufacturers spend more on marketing and advertising than they do on research and development. Yeah. So, again, I don't pretend to have the answer, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I still want to have a little bingo game where, you know, I get to $1 million in prescriptions, you know, but just by watching the Wheel of Fortune, because the drugs that you see on TV are incredibly expensive, and yet, you know, it seems like you need them because of the great graphics and things like that. One of the things we can do is really be aware of how that's driving our total medical spend. About 10% of medications are driving about 72% of the cost of our prescriptions.
Really?
Yeah. It is the brand name.
What kind of drugs are in that 10%, though?
The Humiras, all of the brand name drugs that, you know, you are seeing on TV are the very ones that are priced incredibly expensive. They're basically at monopoly pricing.
Are there generics for them available?
If they were, that's when the prices will start
Got
to come
it.
Down.
Okay, okay.
But what's going on is a wonderfully expensive game of sort of seeking to keep that monopoly control so that the prices can be set wherever the drug manufacturer wants it. There are also classifications and laws that protect certain classes of drugs so that if it's offered, they can set the price and everyone has to offer it. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things that don't happen for other goods and services in our economy. And when you can't manage that, then usually we have some regulations. We have some price controls. We have somebody checking to see what is the transparency that'll make it better.
We're speaking with Jim Showalter. He's the president of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. We'll take your calls because prescription drugs is something that affects nearly all of us. Our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Keep your texts coming. We will ask your questions of Jim Showalter when we return on CCO.
Paul and Jordana. And joining us is Jim Showalter. He is president of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. We're talking about the price of prescription drugs. I'm an unabashed capitalist. I believe that markets usually come up with the best solutions at the lowest prices. Competition is good. It drives down prices. But when it comes to healthcare and so many aspects of healthcare, it seems there really is no free market. I'm talking specifically the Orphan Drug Act. 36 years ago, Congress enacted the Orphan Drug Act to provide incentive for pharmaceutical companies to come up with drugs for rare rare diseases. Mm-hmm. And it offered tax incentives. Congress offered lengthy periods of exclusivity so that these drug companies could get a payback or return on investment. Today, almost 50% of all the new drugs coming out somehow qualify for this Orphan Drug Act. So they get to set the prices, they get tax incentives, and they get a prolonged period of exclusivity. I'd love to be living in a world where I could set the prices, not have any competition, you know, for a long period of time. I understand they need to get a return on investment, but is this part of the problem, part of the challenge with skyrocketing costs for pharmaceuticals?
Absolutely. You know, there are new drugs that are extremely expensive. But it's even worse because there's old drugs that are extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something called HP Acthar Gel. You know, it was around in the 1950s. It was used to treat back spasms in babies. And then in the 1970s, people started using it for MS. You know, once was a price of about $40 a vial. Through subsequent mergers and acquisitions, the price kept on going up, and it became $1,600 a vial, then $32,000 a vial. Now it's at $40,611 for a vial of the same gel that was around decades ago. So it's new drugs and old drugs.
Aren't there generics?
This is, you know, used for treatments, and because of the way that, you know, the laws and regulations work, it has a monopoly power, and it has able to still charge that kind of money.
That is unbelievable.
For a drug that's been around.
So I bet they've recouped the R&D on that.
I think they have.
A couple of times.
So I understand about maximizing profits. These are private companies. They're trying to maximize return to their shareholders. But at what cost for the general public? So I see the push and pull. Bob in Minneapolis, thanks for joining in. Do you have a question for Jim Showalter?
Yeah. Hey, afternoon, Paul Giordana. Nice to thank you for having me on.
Hey, I bet.
Appreciate it. Jim, I had a question. You know, real quick, I was unfortunately unemployed this last year for about 6 months, and thankfully I'm back in the, you know, in the job market, you know, and working, and I just got my insurance reinstated, and I take a statin, you know, which I have for many years and everything, and I had to buy this stuff basically, you know, a la carte, you know, and pay the full price. It just about killed me.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you don't really realize how good it is when you do have insurance. And you get those discounts on medications, right?
So, wait, but even a statin? Everybody makes statins. Statins are generic.
Well, and here's the thing. I was allergic to the they were able to find one, a generic version that I could take, because the one that they took I was allergic to, and it made me very sick. So, but it was okay, but it's still just the price. It was still very expensive. It was about $60 a month, even for the generic for me, almost $75. So, but I just saw the article, and I apologize. I don't know the doctor's name or that person that was just on the news here, and they were talking about nitrofurantoin. I know I pronounced it wrong. It's Macrobid. It's a lower UTI medication, and I do take that on a fairly regular basis. I have a chronic issue with that, and I couldn't believe it when I saw that they raised the price of a bottle of it by, $1,000.
Come on.
About, it's ridiculous, and this guy was basically saying, just like the doctor that raised the price of the other medication, like, oh, well, we should be able to charge whatever we want, you know, because that's the market, and it's ridiculous that we shouldn't be able to charge, you know, what we want, and it's really tough because a lot of people really depend on having that to, you know, to maintain their health, and I guess my question, what I'm getting to with this is with the prescription, the name brands and the generics, is that the best way to fight against those companies that sell that? Or do we go to something, like I said, going back and having more government and really putting a cap on this to protect people like you and I?
Good call, Bob. Let's listen to Jim.
Hey, great call. And thanks for the comments. You know, I don't think there's a single silver bullet solution here. I think it's going to be an and solution where we're going to have a lot of different strategies. Some of it is, having more regulation or checks as to what the right price is going to be. Sometimes it's going to be substituting in generics for brand name drugs. That's what we're trying right now, but that's also just a very a personal decision. You have to work with your doctor, with your insurer, and ultimately, you know, make sure that it works for you. ultimately, we're going to have to work on all of these things at the same time.
I'm reading a lot on the text line that, for example, this woman says, I go through this every month with my son. He has diabetes type 1, $1,000 a month until the deductible is met. Mm-hmm. And that's for insulin. Mm-hmm. That is a drug that's been around, that has competitors, that's been around quite some time. And again, should be generic. Somebody texted in that says, I've taken Imitrex for 20 plus years. When I first used it, the name brand cost $9 per tablet. I now use the generic. The cost per tablet is higher. They do it because they can. You wonder why our healthcare costs are through the roof. Look, I'm all for R&D. My dad is a scientist. He came up in labs. He made vitamins. You know, and I get it. He's an advocate for this. But even he says, at some point, the R&D is recouped. It is recouped. And I'm a capitalist like you, Paul, too. But this is a huge part of where the problem is starting.
$500 million to develop a new drug. That's the average. So we're talking big, big bets that these companies are making. So I understand return on investment.
And big returns, yeah.
So, all right, we're going to keep this going. First, though, it is now 5:31. We will be back with more on CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Paul and Jordana. Happy Thursday. It is Thursday, right? We're talking healthcare the entire day, drilling down deep, trying to get some answers, trying to come up with solutions. Before we get back to Jim Showalter, who's president of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, just want to mention there is a severe thunderstorm warning now. South central Minnesota, just south of Mankato, western Faribault, Martin, southwestern Blue Earth, and southeast Wadawin counties till 6:15. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Some damage to roofs, trees, siding. These storms are moving northeast at 75 miles an hour. A lot of reports of street flooding in and around the Twin Cities, all around the metro. So, yeah, it's going to be a grind getting home this evening. Leave plenty of extra time. What do you
Our texters are saying 42nd and Bloomington underwater. The intersection is underwater in Minneapolis. Oof. Northeast Minneapolis roads very flooded. So just a heads up out there, folks.
And make sure your lights are turned on, stating the obvious. Mm-hmm. Dave in Eden Prairie, thanks for calling in. Do you have a question, comment, or threat?
Well, I have a comment.
Okay.
Early on, you talked about how our healthcare costs compared with other countries. And how we were so much more expensive. But my thought was, do we really find prescription drugs from other companies, other countries, or are they coming here from the United States? We have innovation here. We have creativity here. We have so much going for us, and I don't know how we can expect our healthcare costs to be in comparison to other countries. The other thing that I would like to mention is that I have a company of about 400 employees, and we have one spouse of an employee whose health care costs are about $800,000 a year.
Wow.
For prescription drugs, and it's just killing us.
Wow.
And I just want to hear your comments and your thoughts on that.
It's a great call.
Yeah,
Dave,
great
thank
call.
You.
Thanks,
and,
Dave.
I mean, the point that was made earlier in this broadcast is that the United States and our pharmaceutical companies are really subsidizing drugs for the rest of the world, right? I mean, how many new drugs are invented in France versus the United States? The innovation is happening here. How do we hold on to that and yet make the drugs more affordable and accessible? Is there a way to thread that needle?
You know, I think drugs, once they're available, are going to go international. And probably, you know, holding back a cure isn't something that any of us are going to want to contemplate so
right.
much. What we do want to make sure is that the prices that Americans pay is comparable to what Canadians pay or Germans pay or any other part of the world. And right now we're not at that place. And that's partly because of the way we set it up. We set it up so that you know, there's not a price review, price regulation on how much is paid for drugs. You know, we have set up monopolies.
Why is that? Why? I mean, Congress set this up, right? We cannot negotiate the prices of emerging drugs.
Why?
Yeah, where did that come from? Is that a function of Upton Sinclair, who famously said it's hard to get a man to believe something when his salary depends on him not believing it. I mean, is this the power of the pharmaceutical lobby?
Yes. The pharmaceutical lobby is incredibly important and incredibly powerful. If you look at Congress and some of the laws that have been passed in recent years, carve-outs that were advocated by pharma have frequently been there. If you look at states on an annual basis the last few years, some legislatures have raised their hand and said, you know, we need to do something. This is a national problem, but if it's not going to be solved nationally, we're going to do what we can in our state capital. And the lobbying and the attention that happens from the drug manufacturers is incredible. You're likely to see it here in St. Paul one of these years as well, because anytime any state raises their hand and says, okay, the Congress isn't going to act on it, we're going to try to do what we can, it is amazing the response that comes down. Yes.
Jackson St. Paul with a question or a thought. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Well, I had more of a comment on the drug pricing. I just don't understand it because, I take one drug that in the U.S., if I get it, it's $384. I order it through a Canadian pharmacy, and that's per month in the U.S. I get it through a Canadian pharmacy for $80 for 3 months. And it just it boggles my mind why that happens that way. It doesn't make any sense to me that
can
it would be so much more reasonable.
And that's exactly right. And I think there's public policy that you see in other nations that we don't have. And federally, we're going to have to solve this together. I mean, there's things that we can do, whether they're putting together acceptable growth limits, whether it's looking at price and value as part of the pricing strategy, maybe looking at specialty drug legislation. There's a number of different things, including regulations out of our federal agencies like CMS, that we can do, but nobody's taken the lever and said, okay, let's go do it.
Why not? Because you know what? We're all pretty fired up about paying too much for drugs. Yeah, so why isn't somebody standing up and saying something?
And I think we have to keep on standing up and saying this is unacceptable. Because so far we've been able to pass the buck. We've been able to say, oh, our insurance is too expensive. Well, our insurance is so expensive because health care is so expensive. And our health care is expensive for a lot of reasons, but drugs is a big driving force right now. And yet, you know, we hope that somebody else will solve that problem.
So what do I need to do right now? Which legislator do I need to call in? What do I need to tell them to pass, to vote for, to write a bill for? What do you suggest we constituents do?
I think there's two levels of activity that I want everyone to think about. One is just, you know, raising a hand and saying, let's look for drug transparency. Let's look for growth limits on prices. Something that will help us get a handle on slowing down those expensive drugs, the insulins that become expensive over time, as well as the incredible 1,000% increases in existing drugs.
You know, transparency is, and I know I'm cutting you off, and I apologize, but the EpiPen, when we shamed them, when the transparency was made clear and the curtain was pulled back and the makers of EpiPen were shamed, then they finally brought the price down. So, Jim, I think you're right. I think just saying, hey, show us what you got.
Yeah.
It might shame them into lowering their costs. I'm sorry, continue your
thoughts.
No, but
that's exactly, you know, until we make that part of the conversation, say, well, you know, you can't just raise it because you want to, we won't have any traction. But the other thing is at a local level, at a personal level, at a household level, it's go to your own drug, go into your closet, go into your bathroom, and look at the drugs that you have. Because all too often, people have multiple prescriptions. Take them into your pharmacist. Make sure you've got the right drugs, that they work together. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes one doctor may give you a prescription and another one didn't know you had that prescription. If that's the case, you know, you can also make sure that you're not getting too many drugs, that you're not spending more than you need to because you could substitute drugs. Make sure you have your entire health care looked at with a pharmacist, with your doctor.
Do you recommend we go to Canada or Mexico for drugs?
No.
Why?
They're nice places to visit, though.
Okay.
Great places to visit. But you know, that one trip is not going to make it, especially for those high-cost drugs and especially for those terrible stories, those instances like the young man we talked about at the beginning of the show. Now, we have to solve this all across the board. One-offs isn't going to work.
And this requires courageous legislators, too, at a local level, a state level, and a national level, who step up and just say, campaign donations notwithstanding, this is what's right for my constituents. We have to lower prices. We have to find a formula that works for everyone. So this ultimately requires a political solution too, right?
Yeah, it does. And it's also going to take courage to get educated, to know about all of the little complications that make sort of sometimes you hear that red herring. It's like, oh, that argument makes sense, and you go follow that, and you realize you just got taken off the track of lowering drug costs. You realize mm-hmm. you're working on an individual case that doesn't make sense in the larger picture. But that's part of why we all have to get smarter about it, why we have to be dogged about it, and really not accept the way things are right now.
All right. Paul and Jordana, joined by Jim Showalter, president of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. You have exactly 50 seconds to solve this. What do you want to leave listeners with, Jim?
You know, insurance is so expensive because healthcare is so expensive. And if we don't deal with things like rising medical prices, we're never going to be able to drive down our premiums, drive down copays, and make it everyone have options for the care they need. So drugs can't be priced by just what the manufacturers want.
So there needs to be more oversight.
We need more oversight. We need more regulation. We need more looking at what's the value and the comparative value of a new drug, or if it's just a one-off of something we already have.
I have a hunch they might resist that. Just a hunch.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate
you.
And Laura Oakes for producing this whole day. What an incredible
Good
job
work,
you did.
Laura.
Andy Bloom, our fearless leader, and everybody who contributed, all our fabulous guests. And thank you, the listeners, for chiming in and being engaged.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.